Abstract and Brief Chronicles by Patrick Garland.
The Aristocrat of the English Stage, John Gielgud. When Claire Bloom was playing Madame Ivanov in the television adaptation of Chekhov's play, she told me there was a moment's delay when John Gielgud couldn't quite fill a gap while he was trying to cross the room. "We could always take a moment to kiss each other," she said. "After all, in the play, we are husband and wife." "Oh, no," he replied. "It would make me sick." I had asked Sir John Gielgud towards the end of the first year of our run in Alan Bennett's lyrical comedy 40 Years On what he was going to do when he left the production, which he was due to do in December. "Oh, I've been invited to go down to Chichester," he said, cheerfully dressed in one of his characteristic, perfectly tailored charcoal suits, and sporting a tasteful blue tie. "John Clements has asked me to play the Emperor in Shaw's play Caesar and Cleopatra. Shaw always wanted me to do it, but I'm afraid I found the play, like all his plays, rather boring, deeply earnest, and terribly wordy." I answered with enthusiasm, "But, Sir John, you would be wonderful as Caesar. It's a part that suits you down to the ground. I'm sure you would do it most eloquently." "I suppose so," he said, "but I'm going to be doing it with a young company, and I have to accept the challenge of the Chichester Thrust stage." "And who's going to be the director?" I asked. "Oh, it's somebody I've never met or worked with, called Robin Phillips. They say he's very good and quite young." I should explain that I was in my late 20s at that time. "Oh, Robin's very young," I replied. "He and I both began our careers at Bristol Old Vic together." "Oh, so he's not so young, then." I had been brought up in the famous tradition of John Gielgud's famous gaffes, and had heard dozens of them by that time. I think, in truth, I'd felt a bit put out myself, because I'd not yet been the recipient of one, and I always thought as a young director I was an ideal target. Clearly, I needn't have worried. On another occasion he had been talking to a young actor at a party, and inquired graciously, "And what are you going to do for Christmas?" The young actor replied, "Oh, I'm terribly lucky. I'm going to spend Christmas with the Oliviers." "With the Oliviers?" inquired Sir John. "But they don't even like you." And then there was the occasion when he was speaking with a fellow actor at the BBC and joined a couple of youngsters from the production in the canteen. They all enjoyed a friendly conversation together, the two anonymous actors very flattered they should receive such dazzling attention from the great Sir John Gielgud. As the two veterans stood up to go and left the table, the older man said to Sir John, "I never realized you knew that young actor." "Oh, yes," said Sir John as he left the table, but within earshot. "How could I ever forget those terrible years?" I have often heard it maintained by various members of the theatrical community that John Gielgud's persistent gaffes, in spite of himself generally being so polite, were aimed deliberately and to offend. Nothing could have been farther from the truth. There was some failure in Gielgud's make-up which seemed to prevent him, unlike almost everybody else in life, having recourse to that safety valve inside us all, which prevents most of us from saying the wrong thing at the wrong time. Joss Ackland told me once that when John G. was directing Somerset Maugham's play The Constant Wife, which starred his great friend Ingrid Bergman, when Ingrid said the line, "I was speaking to my mother on the telephone this morning," in her delicate and endearing Swedish accent, Sir John interrupted her and said, "Oh, Ingrid, dear, would you mind changing that line and say, 'I was speaking to my Scandinavian mother on the telephone this morning'?" And on another occasion, when at a party, surrounded as always by a group of admiring actors, one of them was commenting on the disastrous production of Othello, which Zeffirelli did in 19...